This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 136. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Yeah. It's Thanksgiving Eve. We're sitting down to record an episode of What Did You Watch This Week and you know, discussing our shopping. I'm almost done Christmas shopping already.
I am not, but I am exponentially farther along than I was this time last year.
Excellent.
Yep.
Yeah. My kids are pains in the ass as far as...
Are we talking generally or at Christmas shopping?
Christmas time. Okay. Because they never, like, my daughter wants to tell me everything she wants. Like, oh, I'd like to have these wireless headphones. They're, you know, Beats by Dre. Which she doesn't...
They're like $200.
Yeah. I'm like...
The cheapest ones.
Yeah, I'm like, pass. And my son's like, I want a Nintendo Switch. And I know some parents out there, they'll buy their kid a $300 game system for Christmas. That's not me.
No, it's not.
That's not who I am.
No.
You know, when I was a kid, I wanted books and DVDs and comics and wrestling magazines and figures and CDs or cassettes or whatever if you go way back. And on, like, I wanted little tangible things. And my son doesn't play with toys. He plays with Nerf guns, lightsabers, and that's about it.
It's a different age.
I know. I mean, I guess if I had... Like
when
the tablet,
we were kids,
like
you played outside
has.
Because that's what there was.
Yeah.
You know?
If I had a tablet like he had, like he has, or a phone that, you know, does everything, watch anything you want, play games, on and on and on, it's all I'd want to.
I got some Philips Hue light bulbs recently, so my phone can now, like, set the color in my room to red or blue or whatever, or dim the lights. I could just sit there on my phone and play with it and change all the lights in my room.
And did you do that just... For that purpose?
Pretty much. Well, I really like automation. So, like, I can tell my thing. I could say, you know, Alexa, turn on John's room. And I've got it preset so that it'll turn the different lights to different colors and different brightnesses. And, yeah, I love it. It's actually convenient, like, when you wake up in the morning.
I have switches on the wall. I push them up or down, depending on if I want that room illuminated or de-illuminated.
Yeah, but so you'd need a long stick to stay in bed and do that. For me, I could just say, Alexa, turn on bed light.
Walk in the dark to the switch.
Yep. Yeah, and trip over something. And
make sure you have a clear path. You go to bed.
No, I like my way, you know. I like to say, Alexa, turn on bed light. And she goes, okay, and the light comes on
but
at 100%.
But you didn't have a clapper before this.
Nope, I didn't. Because that was just stupid. Clapper does one device. You plug it in.
It does whatever you plug it into.
Right. But, like, that's one lamp. This, I have all my lights.
Clap on. Clap off. The clapper. I was like the old lady who wakes up in her bed. Oh,
yeah, she's, like, violent about it.
Yeah, and the TV shuts off. Nah, I fell asleep with the TV on again. What did you watch this week, man? The back of my eyelids. What you watch when you're asleep? It's the back of your eyelids.
Technically speaking, you're not watching anything. You're watching the dreams that play out in your head that are, depending on who you take as a school of thought, they might be unconscious manifestations of things that have gone on within the past couple of days that you're trying to work through, or they could be your brain trying to process different things that you don't understand quite fully.
I don't know.
Or they're just really great sexual fantasies.
I don't have sexual fantasies.
That's right, you're married.
In my dreams anymore.
Married with kids.
Three of them.
I watched some shows.
I love what this has become. just to get right down to business.
I watched some shows and I watched three movies.
I watched two movies and some shows.
Well, we'll be able to talk about three movies, I
think. Did you go to the movie theater?
I did not.
Okay.
I am going on Sunday, though, to see Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yes.
The other day on the radio, I gave out, Seamus White.
Nice. So, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out. I realized I watched stuff this week, but I wasn't a very good note taker this week. Oh, here's some news. I'm just going to jump out right from the get-go. They renewed S.H.I.E.L.D. for another season.
I had to, like, read this over a couple of times because they were like, S.H.I.E.L.D. has been renewed for season 7. And I'm like, so? We knew that that was coming. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, we just got done with season 5.
Yeah.
Season 6 is, like, filming now. So wait, they renewed it for season 7 while they're filming season 6, even though season 5 should have been the ending.
Right.
Season 6 was just supposed to be like a after effect.
Right.
Like season 5 was the ending. Coulson's not even going to be around in season 6, supposedly.
That's what's happened.
It was very bizarre, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised at that, you know. And others were like, yeah, it's so awesome. I'm like, is it though? Is everything awesome with this?
I don't know if everything is awesome. I don't believe that everything is cool when you're part of a team. But my team's pretty cool, though.
I'm a loner.
I'm a loner, Dottie. A rebel. Pee-wee. He masturbated in the theater.
Hey, he's overcome that.
He also overcame the seat in front of him.
Children.
Clever children.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, Supergirl.
Supergirl. I don't remember if I watched it or not.
Parasite Lost.
What happens?
This is the one where Agent Liberty jams a parasite into a guy, Khan style, and the parasite lets him touch aliens and absorb their powers and turn them into husks, basically kills them and takes their powers. But it's only temporary.
I'm going to say I didn't watch that.
Okay.
Was it good? That's kind of how I'm feeling about it lately.
It's not bad. You should watch it.
I will.
You're still watching it.
I will.
We got to see more of the general, I think it is, or colonel that's come to oversee
Colonel Haley.
Yeah. And, you know, whereas at first you're like, oh, no, she's going to be right up Alex's ass. She actually likes Alex a lot. And she's really good. And, you know, she basically tells her, you know, hey, I like what you're doing here. I like how you're doing this. I like how you're doing this. And then waits until the very end of the episode to drop the bombshell. Yeah, I'm glad that John Jones is out of there because I don't like aliens and they're disgusting. And so, you know, it's good that we've got a human running this place again. Yep.
So what's she think about Supergirl then?
Probably doesn't like her.
And Brainiac.
Probably doesn't like him either.
So she's an alien bigot.
Yep.
Of course she is.
Which is what this season is all about. And I get it. It's actually a good enemy to fight against, you know, instead of just one superpowered being that you're like, how are they going to overcome them? Like Rain, you know, or her aunt. Mm-hmm. It's a mindset. You don't often get that in shows.
That's true. That is true. They've managed to do racism on this without it being like Black Lives Matters or whatever type like that.
It's, right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Arrow.
No.
No. Just didn't watch it.
No. Oh.
We're going to have one of these episodes again, aren't we? Watch like 3 shows and I'm going to hear 15 minutes worth of talk about some stupid Netflix shiny box movie.
Yep.
Oh, shit. I called it. All right. Well, we'll skip Arrow then.
No, go ahead and talk about
it. It's more prison. It's more prison stuff. And he gets put into level 2, which has no visitation.
Yeah.
And he doesn't see the light of day until, you know, by the end of the episode, he's back out of level 2 because, you know, they work together and get him out of level 2. But
okay.
Whatever.
Great. I did watch Flash.
Did you watch Legends of Tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because that was a good one.
I watched Legends and I watched Flash.
Legends was great. Swamp Thang.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
6 A's.
Yeah, why is there so many? Well, it's based on a true story. Wait a second. Maybe this is an alien.
It's got 6 A's because this is the 6th incarnation of this, or the 6th episode in this.
Yeah. It's a spoof, obviously, of If you look at it in that Friday the 13th, yeah. No, I enjoyed this episode. The part I did groan when they made Ava and
Sarah kids. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and then now the kids are cheesy. Now the little girls are fighting the alien or whatever, the bad guy, demon, if you will. But I did enjoy like Ray being a camp counselor.
Like John is
Yeah. And I did enjoy like John being there with his collar up and he's got the cigarettes rolled in his sleeve. And,
yeah.
But yeah, I thought this was a real fun episode. This show, this has become my favorite.
Of the CW stuff, yeah. It was funny. I read this online, but so in the beginning when they're watching the movie Swamp Thing, and they look at the write-up of it, they had an excerpt that was saying, you know, it's a D+, and it's like these are the set pieces are just as bad as the acting or something like that.
Yeah,
that was a direct quote that was lifted from a review that the AV Club did of one of the first season episodes of Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, that is funny.
So basically the AV Club roasted them, you know, said this is terrible. So they turned it back around a couple seasons later, and this episode from the AV Club got like a B+ or something. And they were like, hey, you guys pointed it out? Well, thanks.
Yeah.
So that was cool. It was them poking fun at themselves, essentially, which I really like.
Well, they did that earlier this season as well with talking about ratings. And,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
I'm so mad that they haven't let the shapeshifter change back.
Oh, no, she's not. She's now dressed up like a 70s punker. And
she's got the full-on British accent.
And she's on with the team.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me mad. But I'm going to have to accept it, I guess. You know what they've kind of gotten away from?
What?
What's going on with Constantine? We haven't talked about that in a couple episodes.
No, I thought they'll get back to it. That, you know, this is how the show works.
Well, I think because we saw the preview of the next episode with Nora and the
I liked fair. Her at the end at the Renaissance fair.
Renaissance fair. And she's like, my potion will do wonders for you. And he's like,
oh, this tastes terrible. Well, I can make something new. It doesn't matter. They're here from the buxom wenches.
Yes. Speaking of which, a little more buxom than that.
Yeah. What's her name? Oh, Charlie. That's right.
Who's Charlie?
The Amaya.
Oh, yeah. I thought we were supposed to talk about Nora.
Her and Mick, you know, they bond. But you know what I like, though? They bonded, but it wasn't a, like, ploy, like, to whatever. Like, she used the one ploy earlier.
Yep.
And tried to run away. You know, Mick caught her.
Mm-hmm.
Then they kind of bonded, and Mick just let her go.
Yeah. And it was, you're right, it was legitimate bonding.
Yeah, and then she's like, look, I'll hang out here, but you're not putting me back in any cell again.
Right.
I'll help you guys out. I know about a lot of these creatures. So they have kind of another expert.
Yep.
And it is – because we did question how are they going to get Amaya back on the show because she's so – but this is how they're doing it.
Yeah.
Which I liked the other actress.
Yeah, I did too.
You know, I liked the other girl that was playing. Like, I wish they could somehow change her back, but
right.
Whatever. It is what it is.
So Flash.
All right. So I like that they had, Ragdoll.
Yeah.
Is the creepy guy from America's Got Talent. Did you see him?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I saw him come out of the box, I didn't realize it was him. I was watching it at work and I just went, dude, to my buddy Rude. I go, dude, is Ragdoll the creepy black guy from America's Got Talent? He goes, yeah, it is. I'm like, he's perfect. Like, when I saw America's Got Talent, the running back, like the running with on the twisted up thing, and it's like, Rude and I talked about it then, like, this guy's gonna be perfect in a horror movie.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, The Conjuring or The Ring.
Oh, just, they got nothing on just him. Some sort of, like, yeah, I mean, I've never seen, like, a contortionist run while in that, you know, like, and gracefully and up on things.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, he was great in this.
Yeah.
He was great. I kind of wish we could see this villain again.
Right.
Creepy as all hell. I mean, creepy.
I loved it when Barry told him, he's like, you know, I know what happened to you. You got hit by some of the debris, right? And he's like, crushed.
I got crushed by it, yeah.
Mangled. Destroyed. Yeah. He didn't talk a lot, but he was very good.
It was awesome. I really enjoyed that. I like that. I like the fact that Mama Cecile
mm-hmm.
and Excess or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Had the big sit-down talking about Barry, mm-hmm. but she was actually talking about her mom.
Yeah.
And Excess finally told her mom, like, this is how you were. This is how – and it's like, well, that's not how I am now.
Right.
You know, and she's just like, get to know your mom the way she is now. But even what's her face?
Laura.
Nope.
Iris.
Iris. Even Iris is just like questioning what happened to make her do what she did.
Right.
Like she's not allowed to talk about being a newspaper reporter.
Mm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was her whole life. So even when she told her that, like, oh, it's like we weren't allowed to talk about that. It's part of your life. We're not allowed to talk about it. Even she is just like, why is that?
Right.
So something big happened.
Well, going back to what you were saying, I really liked the talk with Cecile, because basically Cecile, right in the beginning, she was like, you are in the West household.
Yes.
You will not disrespect any member of this household, especially your mother. You know, she's like, you can get the fuck out of this house. Otherwise.
I did enjoy that. She's like, the reason why I fell in love with the West family. I like not Joe, the West family is because of how they treat each other and how they are with each other. So.
Oh, yeah, she put it right in her place. And then she makes her make the table and, you know, yeah, wait for it. And then it just falls over.
Holds up the bag of screws. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was good. And then it seems like by the end, Iris and Nora are going to talk. You know, they're sitting down and talking about stuff. So we're going to finally see some end to this angst, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then finally... It only took 5 episodes for them to go, oh, let's take control of DeVoe's other 4 satellites up there. You know, they're just hanging out, even though we lost ours.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, now they can have eyes and ears again.
Yeah. Now, we also see that Sisko is hurting. Like, he is a hurting unit.
Yes.
His hands bleed at first when he's trying to vibe things.
Yeah.
Like, he can get the successful vibes because they're looking for Caitlin's dad.
Yeah.
But his hands are bleeding, and then, you know, he's not doing well.
No. Nope.
Like, he may not be able to use his powers again. And he's really upset about that because he likes being a member of the team.
Yep.
He likes being useful. And this is not working for him. And I don't blame him, obviously.
Right.
But it's looking like in their research, her dad was doing research on a winter goddess, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. And
some kind of legend of the North.
Right, which leads to believe that he knew about Caitlin being Killer Frost.
Right.
Or that, or at least whatever they called her at that time, though.
Right.
But basically knew about Killer Frost.
I also loved, and again, it was such a short thing, but I love Dibny.
Yes.
I'm loving Sherlock, or Sherlock.
Yes.
But I loved that Dibny got to do a Spider-Man thing and basically extend his arms.
I know. He's just like, I saw this in a comic book or whatever.
Yes.
But it's Spider-Man, which is hilarious because, you know, DC, Marvel.
And then he traps Ragdoll in himself.
Yeah.
Basically, like, wraps him up. He's like, you guys want to help me out with this? Oh, good stuff.
It was good stuff.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this episode.
Did you watch The Rookie?
This is where they swap... training officers.
Yep.
Yes, my favorite line was Bradford to the legacy guy, my goal is to crush your spirit.
Yep.
My only goal is to crush your spirit. Yeah.
Yeah. The captain gives them all a task, each rookie a task, basically says, you've got to, by the end of this week, find out something about your TO that they don't want you to know. And the winner gets what, like Saturday off or something?
Yeah, well, no, the winner gets, like the weekend off, and the loser has to process everybody on Saturday night or something like that.
Excuse me. Work.
Hiccups. And essentially, Castle and his girlfriend both find out information about their TOs,
mm-hmm.
but the legacy guy doesn't.
Right.
And...
Well, that's because the legacy guy is busy...
trying to keep his job.
Yeah.
Because he froze up again
and
started flying. Yeah.
Bradford was
not having any of that.
Well, not only the fact that he froze up, but then he goes back to the other one and he's like, did you not tell me that this kid is the reason I got shot?
Yeah.
This kid froze up in that gunfight and I got shot because of him?
Well.
Are you fucking kidding? Like, he loses his shit on
him. Right, but he actually didn't get shot because of him.
Right, right, right.
But still.
He's mad about the whole situation and blames this and, the kid finally unfreezes.
Well, she has a valid point, though, when she says, like, look, his dad is the head of internal investigations.
Yeah.
You don't think if he fails, it's going to fuck you over?
Right, right.
Basically. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know who it was. It was Hodor, I realized. I don't know who it was that Tim dropped him off with, like, whose character is supposed to be, but it was one of those things. It's like, you know, Tim's like, talk to this guy.
Yeah. Who used to be a cop.
Yeah.
Now he's completely agoraphobic.
Yeah.
Won't even go outside. But he's like, at peace with it.
Well, no, he says, though, like, I should have forced myself to go outside back when I first got home.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it would have been easier. Now it's too hard.
Yep. And that.
But you're right.
Prompts the kid to pick up a gun and shoot someone.
No, he didn't.
The guy out in the street?
He ran him down with his car.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, no. Because yeah, Bradford tells him to stay in the car.
Mm.
And then there's a big shootout. Now Bradford's pinned down. He's out of ammo, basically, or whatever. And the kid hits the bad guy with the assault rifle with his car.
That's right. You know, that's a couple of bad guys now with assault rifles.
Yeah, well, it is California. And it is a fictional show.
That
I'm pretty sure that, you know, there's a lot of crime, but I don't think, like, the cops get shot at every single day. The same ones, I mean.
Right, right.
Because, you know, I mean, imagine what night shift goes through. If the day crew guys go through all this.
Oh, my God.
You know? There's
always half the people
on right,
the
yeah. night
shift.
But yeah, I'm continuing to enjoy this show. At the end, Castle broke up with his girlfriend.
Because they were both going to break up with each other.
Yeah, but she was pissed that he broke up first. Like, right. I love you. This was going to be the hardest thing. I anguished over this. It's just so easy for you. No, it's not.
Mm-mm.
Yes, it is. Going back to Flash real quick.
Yeah.
With the Ragdoll character. They go, well, if he can flatten himself out, maybe this long thing here is a fingerprint, not just a blah, blah, blah. And they compress. Oh, it is a fingerprint. Yeah, I saw that. 1994 in the X-Files.
Nice.
Yeah, Eugene Toombs. Anyways, so I was like, okay. I know that's what they were going for. But
I stole it from the X-Files.
Yeah. Eugene, Victor Eugene Toombs. I want to talk about The Good Place.
Yes.
Essentially, they go meet up with, what's that guy's
Doug.
Name? Doug. I know
Michael McKean.
Michael McKean, yeah. And it's Doug, and he's the one that tripped on acid or whatever and figured out the point system and everything. And basically, he is a human doormat to everybody and everything.
Yes.
And he wants to leave no carbon footprint and no harm, nothing at all. He buries slugs when he accidentally kills them because, you know, he has to get points. He has to get points. He has to get points. And at first, like, when Michael and Janet get there, they're fanboying big time. And then they realize, especially Michael, like, okay, no, there's something wrong with this guy.
Janet had a name for him, and I tried to write it down, but I forgot to rewind and get it. But it wasn't a ship magnet, but she called him some kind of a magnet.
Yeah.
Where basically he does whatever he can to make everyone else around him happy without taking into consideration his own happiness.
I know people like that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I know a few as well.
But he takes it to a level I think I've never seen. So.
Right.
I did enjoy when Eleanor is talking to Chidi and recognizes some demons in the place and tries to get everyone out of there, but then they're overrun by demons. And they're like, oh, Michael and Janet are long gone. You'll never see them. And then they show up.
Yeah.
And then they try talking, and then Janet's just like, let's fight. Janet's a badass. And she's trying to beat everybody up.
Yep. Because she still has her kung fu, you know, knowledge.
Oh, yeah. And I like the fact that, like, when she touches, like, the portal door, she's like, oh, even when I place my hand in, I rejuvenates all my powers.
And the two demons go, they do?
And
she starts wrecking ass.
Like how she wrecked everybody, and then they sent everyone through the portal. But they didn't send them through their own portal to hell. They sent them through Michael's portal, which is to the judge or whatever.
Yes.
And, and then I really enjoyed when at the end they're trying to figure out how to escape and all these demons keep coming in and you see evil Janet.
Yes.
Well, you know, looking at her phone, chewing her gum.
Yeah.
And then Janet's like, all right, I think I can take us all to my void. But you may not be able to survive in there, but you're definitely going to die.
Yeah.
When I do this. So say goodbye to the Earth. Goodbye, Earth. Well, we're going to be.
So further evolution of the show. So now they're dead again.
Yes. Now we're in Janet's void.
Right.
So they're dead, but they didn't go to the good place or the bad place.
Right.
They just went to Janet's void. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
I like this show.
It is. It's a fun very show. Enjoyable. Yep.
Superstore.
My God.
Okay.
Last week's episode was funnier, but
yes,
this one.
This week's episode where they have the new initiative to smile.
It's go the extra smile, but smile instead of mile, but smile is S-M-A-I-S-L-E. So it's like the aisles of the store.
Yes.
Yeah. It's stupid.
And then Glenn pronounces it wrong.
Yes. Smazel. Yeah.
Smazel.
Go the extra smazel.
And I like how Garrett and Dina.
Oh my God. This was the best part.
Garrett and Dina have a contest with each other where they will just smile no matter what.
Because they both agree that they have very creepy smiles.
Yes. And so they're just going to smile no matter what. And we get that throughout the store. I love how it keeps coming up. Like, Garrett's at the return desk. And this guy shows up and he wants to return. He wants to return something.
I think it was a wedding ring or something.
I don't know. It was something, and then somebody died or left him or this or that, whatever. And Garrett,
his girlfriend left him.
Yeah, and Garrett's
like, I've got no more use for this.
And Garrett's just smiling because he's trying to be friendly. But the guy's like, why do you keep smiling at me? And Gary refuses to stop smiling, and he like calls him an ass and throws it at him. And then the next one gives him a dog collar. She's like, I'd like to return this. Oh, did your dog outgrow this, I hope?
The bet is that they have to keep smiling. The first person to stop smiling loses, and it's over like a good bottle of scotch.
Yes,
that's it.
Yeah.
And they even acknowledge that later. They're like, we're doing this over just a bottle of scotch. But so, yeah, so they have like different customers that try them that way. But then it escalates because then Dina went out of her way to dig up information on Garrett's ex-girlfriend.
Oh my God, that was the best.
From 3 years ago.
Yes.
And sends her in there with her three-year-old son to the counter and says,
say hi to your daddy.
Yeah. Yeah. She didn't even hesitate. He's like, oh, how old's that kid? She's like three. And he's like, when did we date each other? She goes, yeah, say hi to your daddy.
Yeah.
Hi daddy. Daddy.
Looks over to you. Dina, did you pay her just to? Yes, I did.
And then it culminates in the two of them just sitting at a table.
I wish I would have written more of this down.
I wish I would have too.
But
they were so rotten to each other.
Oh, God. And then, like, even to the point where Garrett insults, like, her mom.
Yes.
And, like, I mean, it's just so bad. And then they do finally just agree to stop, don't they?
I believe so, yes.
Also through the store. Throughout the episode.
Yeah, because there was other stuff going on.
Yeah, throughout the episode, this is my other favorite one, where Glenn stops to help a customer, and the customer is clearly making a murder kit.
Yes.
And then you see him throughout the store, like, when they do those little, like,
cutaways
with just the customers, whatever, you see him, like, looking at tape and looking at, you know,
other
murder items. But the big story is Jonah's parents are showing up, and they're talking to Amy, and Amy helping them buy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find out that it's, she finds out it's Jonah's parents because he lied and said he was being a doctor and on and on and on. And then Amy, because she clearly likes Jonah, tries to help him perpetuate the lie.
Yep.
And then when Glenn comes over to tell Jonah like to go clean the bathrooms or whatever it is, Amy throws a yam at his head. And then later on when Amy's
like, she's explaining it to Glenn in the office, he's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, he's like, she goes, so, but why'd you throw a yam at my head? You could have thrown it at my leg. Because you still would have said something. Yeah, because it had to be the head.
Because he has grown to understand this kind of stuff.
And then Jonah tells his parents that he works at the store. And then Amy tries to go out and smooth things over by saying, but it's okay, you know, we all like him, blah, 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 blah. And then his mother's like, well, isn't his girlfriend like Natalie Portman? And his dad's like, of course she's not. That was a lie too, don't you understand? No wonder she looked at me funny when I tried to hug her at the airport. I can't remember, was Amy all offended that Jonah told his parents he was dating Natalie Portman?
No.
Because it was 3 years ago or something, right. About the time he started working there.
Yep.
Or whatever. Yeah, that was a fun episode. That made me laugh a lot.
It did. The one before it was better, yeah, but this one was still great.
I watched The Kids Are All Right and The Connors. I think they're both good. Yep. I'm not going to go into great detail about either one of them.
Okay.
The Kids Are All Right, I feel like this is one of those shows kind of like The Middle. It's going to be around a few years.
Probably.
We're going to get a few years out of it. It's there's some funny moments. It's not fall down funny or ruckus funny, but it's funny enough that it keeps you going, keeps you watching it.
Gotcha.
And I enjoy it.
Lethal Weapon was, it was okay.
I forgot that was even on.
I'm still watching Charmed. I'm still enjoying it quite a bit. Nice. This one dealt with a revenant ghost. They're setting something up. The oldest sister, Macy, she can see this glowing mark on the guy that she was into. And now she thought at first that it was a succubus had marked him.
Yep.
But she's the only one that can see this mark. Nobody else can. And they're setting it up that she has darkness in her. I think that's kind of like what they were doing with Phoebe in the original Charmed, where, you know, she had the – remember she got together with Cole and she had the flame powers for a while there because she had darkness in her soul.
Yes.
And I think that's what this is. So that's interesting. I'm still enjoying the show. It's not terrible. It's actually enjoyable. So, yeah. Did you watch This Is Us?
I did. Real quick, though, I forgot to watch The Good Doctor.
Okay.
I did watch New Amsterdam, though.
The Good Doctor dealt with a pet.
Something about a goldfish. I do know that much.
So you watched New Amsterdam.
I watched New Amsterdam, and okay. This was a domino effect. Did you watch this one?
Yep.
Okay, so it's the one where, like, they're trying to give everyone a piece of a liver. So if this person donates to this person will donate to this person, this one to this, da-da-da-da-da.
They had a
so,
chain going.
Yeah, they had a domino effect, a chain effect, whatever you call it. And basically what it is
this girl gets a piece, then her brother will donate a piece so that it can go to this person.
So this person will donate to this person. And, and basically everyone who needs a liver, a family member is donating a piece of their liver to somebody else so that way they can get their liver, da-da-da.
Yep.
And, of course, they run into trouble with it, but at the end of the day, it all works out fine.
Because the first one who's going to donate, she doesn't like her brother.
Yeah.
And she hasn't talked to him in years, and she came out here to do this, and now she's like, you know what, I don't want to help him. Which is, you know, a dick move.
Right, it is.
Because it's your brother, I mean.
And then the main backstory is Max dealing with his cancer, and he goes and has his molars taken out because he has to have his molars taken out for some sort of treatment.
I was wondering about that too. That's kind of weird.
I don't know. But then I saw a commercial for like next week's episode, and he's already talking about how he doesn't think he's going to do the therapy or whatever it is. I don't know. Again, this is one of those shows where I'm just like, I don't know.
If they canceled it, you wouldn't be heartbroken at all.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I get that.
So we watched Manifest tonight.
Yes, we did.
We watched this week's episode. The only this week's show we're going to talk about, I guess.
Right.
Another riff track.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't
a little more serious this
I can't
time,
decide
though.
If I like the show or not anymore.
Right.
My wife's like, oh, we've watched too much. We have to keep watching it. And
yep.
I'm like, oh, okay.
We're like 8 episodes in. I mean.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I've stopped watching shows for less, but I don't know.
Now it's a group effort kind of thing.
Yeah. It is something I enjoy that we kind of do together.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Like I said.
The believability in the show is going down quite a bit. My main complaint, well, I have a lot of complaints, but my main complaint is that they're not giving us answers. You know, they're dangling it over our heads, and people are tired of that. You know, people really liked it when it was Lost and you didn't get that. Or Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
You know, but nowadays there's too many shows doing that, and people are sick of it. They're like, just give me some answers.
Yep.
Don't keep dangling it and going, oh, we're never going to tell you. Because far too often shows get canceled like that, and then you never get any answers, so it makes you sour to the whole thing.
Yeah, basically. I don't know. Like I said, in this episode, it's kind of more of a setup episode for more story building. They didn't really have a calling happening in this episode.
Except for the sister.
The sister, she got the one that says, you can't lose him. And then some guy jumps off a building who was on the plane and dies after she unsuccessfully talks him down. And then she hears it again after that, but like you're saying,
she doesn't even acknowledge.
She doesn't even acknowledge the fact that she just continues to blame herself that I didn't save this guy. I failed the calling, and it's like,
you know. Yeah. And then the calling calls out to her again. She's like, mm-hmm. And also, I was having a big problem with technology in this because, for one, they gave one of the women it's already turned on directional bugging device that was like the size of a thumbtack. Where's the power source? Right. We learned that in Burn Notice.
It's built in.
There's no such thing. There is no power source that small. Sorry. It just doesn't work. And especially not for something like that. Even if it had something that small, it would last for maybe an hour, if that.
I agree.
Or the NSA director saying to his subordinate, pointing out 3 cell towers in the New York area and saying,
no, that's
I want
works.
To know every cell phone that pinged off all 3 of these towers recently.
And he wants to cross-reference them with that. They had to hit off all 3.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
And she's just like, okay, what's the case number? Put it under?
Oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Technology eludes these people.
All right.
You know, the director gives Prince Charming there an air-gapped laptop so that it can't be on a network and nobody can see that he's going through the data on the flash drive that he has. But he sets it up at his desk at work so that everybody can see what he's doing. Because these are cubies, and everybody can see what you're doing when you walk by. And then he's being so careful there, yet Prince Charming walks around with an iPad that's undoubtedly connected to the cloud.
Yeah.
And that's where he keeps all of his notes and his detective work. And he's like, look, I've got all the properties that I stole from my company here on this iPad. Let's flip through them. Dumbass.
Yeah, there's a lot of good thing this happened. Oh, they look like they bugged the office right at the right time. Mm-hmm. Oh, it looks like they did their search engine right at the right time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, this is us. Yeah. I enjoyed this episode.
Okay.
Did you?
I think so.
I know some people didn't. Basically, Kevin and his girlfriend, they go to Vietnam mm-hmm. to try to track down more information about Jack. And at the same time, we're getting the story of Jack and Rebecca. They've only known each other for a week or whatever it is, 3 weeks. And they're going to drive cross country to California because she's going to play her demo for a record agent, for a music producer or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's going to go to Reseda to go meet the parents of one of his subordinates or whatever in Vietnam who died, the guy that was there playing catch with the football, and he ran off to go deep and stepped on a landmine.
He didn't even run off that far. Like, he was 3 feet away.
Yeah. Anyway, so
go deep. Thump, thump, boom.
Jack goes to his parents to tell him, hey, it's my fault. I got your son killed. This is what happened.
I let my guard down.
I should have been paying attention better, and I wasn't. And they both, like, absolved him of his problems. And, no, it wasn't your fault. There's nothing you could have done. You know, blah, blah, blah. So that was a good touching moment. Rebecca gets told that the record executive is just basically like, all right, well, we'll be in touch. What does that mean? Can you please be more specific? It means if you have a gig, let us know. We'll try and send someone to watch it, and then, you know, we'll keep in touch. Yeah, again, you need to tell me what that means. Where are you from? I'm from Pittsburgh. Well, you're Pittsburgh good. What an asshole.
Yep. But she kept saying, you know, she kept pushing the point. He was trying to be nice at first, and she was like, oh, well, be blunt.
I think she needs, like, I don't know. I kind of feel like I would kind of push it like she was. He could have just said, look, you're not anything special. Mm-hmm. Just keep getting better and, you know.
Get some practice.
Get better and then send us another demo in a couple of years and we'll look at it. We'll go from there. Like, that's what he could have said.
Mm-hmm.
So she decides she doesn't want to stick around. So, like, let's go home. So they drive back home. I'm kind of glad we didn't have any story of Randall, really, and his wife, or Kate and Toby, you know, we're kind of free there.
Yeah, that was good, although we got an extra helping of Kevin and, you know, the cousin there.
Yeah. But we find out that she was sexually abused as a kid by her father, and that's probably why she has relationship issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kevin did what the Pearson kids do, which is he didn't get his way. She said, I don't want to talk about this. My dad lives in China. I don't want to be close to him. And he just wouldn't let it go. And he kept going, oh, no, no, it's perfectly fine. You know, not let me into your life. I've let you into my life, but, you know, you don't want to let me into your life. That's fine. Whatever.
He uses reverse psychology on him, be like, look.
And guilt.
Obviously, my dad didn't tell the first 28 years of his life to my mom, and she was okay with that. And if she can be okay, I guess I can be okay with that because, you know, I'm starting to fall in love with you. And you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, don't say it. Don't say it. She's like, my dad abused me, but I'm not telling you this because I'm falling in love with you as well. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you this because my dad's already ruined so many parts of my life. I don't want him ruining another part.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I really enjoyed Jack's time in Vietnam that we saw that story of him trying to get his help his brother being a dick.
Yep.
Jack getting a ride back because he had to walk back to his unit. And at night, VC takes over the road. And he's walking, and he gets this one Vietnam guy to give him a ride on his motorcycle. And then they stop because he has to give his cans to the people that make the homemade bombs. And then he rides to – and the guy drops him off, you know, short of where his camp is. And he's like, you need to walk from here. And he's like – I kind of like this part where Bo goes, you good guy or Jack asks the guy Bo or Bow or whatever. Yeah. Are you good guy or bad guy?
And he just kind of looks
– he kind of looks at him and he's like, are you VC? And Bo just goes, sometimes.
Yep.
And I've seen a lot of Vietnam War movies, and they're all primarily told from the American side of things.
Right.
You know, I don't think I can't even think of a Vietnam War movie that was told from the Vietnam side of things. And we've had a few Japanese movies, like even Clint Eastwood did one that was told from, you know, the Sands of Iwo Jima.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw that. That was from the, you know, Flags of Our Fathers was the U.S. side of, you know, that part, and Sands of Iwo Jima or the Japanese side of it, you know. And I guess it's something I never considered, like this guy, you know, sometimes he's VC.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that's an actual aspect of the war where you had people that, you know,
supported when they wanted to.
Or when they felt they had to, but right. They really didn't. And, you know, I don't know. It'd be interesting to explore. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to watching war movies, Vietnam or World War II, my two favorite. I don't care about... like Korea's MASH, watch that, it's cool. I don't really care about anything recent.
Okay.
It's just me.
Did you touch upon the fact that the necklace, it turns out, is just a generic tourist
charm? Well, no, I don't think, okay, I think it is, but that's not how it started.
Right, right,
Because we see the one that Jack has being made, and we see this GI buy it for a girl, and then he sees her cozying up to another guy, so she leaves it on the counter. We see this Vietnamese soldier put it on, and then you see him dead, and then you see this girl take it off his body, and then later on, her and Jack kind of make eye contact, and that's all we kind of see.
Right.
So obviously, they're going to talk some more sense then, but you're right, yes.
When Kevin gets to Vietnam, he sees somebody with a necklace, and he goes over and he goes, where'd you get it? And they're like, oh, right over there. And the store's just filled, and the woman's like, oh, yeah, we sell lots. We sell lots.
Yeah, so now, 30 years, 40 years later, it's becoming like a generic everyone buy type of thing. But,
right.
So.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will be.
So, we haven't talked about the guest book at all.
I haven't watched.
Still haven't watched any of it.
And I only managed to watch one more episode of Stand Against Evil, episode 3. I have to catch up. I mean, the finales are on tonight. So I'll finish those up so we can talk about them next week, the rest of the series.
After that day that you flung your mouse and got all pissed that I hadn't watched the first two episodes.
I didn't fling my mouse.
You picked it up on, oh!
I was shocked.
Shocked, I say.
Yes, and then you caught up, and then I didn't, and then now you're done, probably. Oh, no, you still have the finales to watch.
Still the finales.
And I'm not, is there six episodes, eight?
Eight.
Yeah, I'll finish them.
What do you think of the third episode?
A lot of schoolwork, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I loved the kaiju battle at the end between the moth and the guy in the gorilla suit through the miniature city. That was tremendous.
Wasn't it
absolutely
amazing?
Tremendous.
And it was such a good setup. The whole episode was nothing but an homage to Godzilla and kaiju movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the twins there who, like, they'd move their mouths, but it wasn't dubbed up correctly.
Right, right.
Until they caught them, like, hanging out in the kitchen. And they were just like, oh, hey, what are you going to do?
And then they're synced up perfectly. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so awesome watching that. And it was, you know, there's no other shopkeeper here.
Yeah.
Rob Corddry was great.
Rob Corddry was great.
As the bum old ex-husband,
yes.
Father, Oh my God. It was so good. And then they like forecasted it because, you know, she's like, I'm going to go donate these to what was it? What's the name of the town?
All I can think of is Cleves Mills.
It's something Mills. Willard's Mill.
Willard's Mill. Yeah.
Willard's Mill Miniature Museum, which is actually just a miniature replica of the entire town of Willard's Mill. And then they fought in it. And that was so awesome. Giant gorilla and giant moth.
I thought that was pretty awesome.
And the twins, they were so perfect. You got to get up on the guest book, though. They've had some really good episodes. Okay. Dude, you saw the first season.
Well, I know, but like Mac and his wife aren't in it anymore. Mac and Laverne aren't in it.
You don't miss them. Because
and
this time,
Garrett Dillahunt's not in it. And
dude, the people that run the place now are awesome. Okay. It's the little Asian girl from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, okay.
And her husband is this vanilla milk toast. Like, in the most recent episode, she was like, hey, I went to call you the other day on my cell phone, and it went directly to my own voicemail. What's up with that? And he goes, yeah, I stopped by the cell phone place and was trying to talk to them about, you know, like how much they charge for minutes. And we got into a rousing discussion. So I no longer have a phone. I'm just going to use yours and share it. So, you know, if people call, they get dumped directly to your phone, too. So we're just going to share a phone because he's that cheap and ridiculous.
I'm not even that cheap.
No. And it's just so good. You gotta get into that. I mean, they're only 21 minutes long.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not that. It's just finding the time.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, I mean, I still like to enjoy a good movie now and then.
Right.
And I got a lot of schoolwork.
Right.
Doctor Who.
First, let me say, before we hit some Doctor Who, I watched the first three and a half episodes of She-Ra and the Princesses of Power.
Oh, how was that? Abysmalness.
It's meant for kids.
Oh, yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I don't think that I need to watch more. I may, but, I mean, it took three episodes so far just to get her into the castle with the other princesses and figure out who she is. The animation style is kind of interesting. I like the animation style. I didn't think I was going to when I saw the trailers, but it's kind of cool. I don't know. It's definitely good for kids. Very female empowerment heavy, which is good. Like, we haven't even seen Hordak yet. Shadow Weaver's there. Shadow Weaver is the...
Huh.
Like, Hordak, you hear them talk about him,
yeah.
But most all of the main characters are female.
Right.
So, yeah, I might keep watching it. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's more of a background show for me, but it's definitely not bad.
Okay.
So, Doctor Who.
Kerblam.
This episode is freaking great.
I love this show. And I love this season.
Uh-huh.
And I know we say this every week. I love Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a delivery from Kerblam, which she's is basically all excited. Like Amazon. Yeah.
Well, they start off the episode where they're trying to outrun it. They don't know what's coming after them, but something's coming after them, and they're trying to outrun it. And then they realize that it's a package, and she's like, oh, I got a package.
I can't even remember when I ordered this, and it was a Fez. That was awesome.
And the first thing she does, puts it right in her head. Still me?
Yeah.
Oh,
and then there's a note on the packing, so this has helped me.
Yep.
So they go to the moon where the Kerblam factory is located. Mm-hmm. And we're basically on this world where automation has become primary.
Yep. And like 90% of the workforce is robots.
And they have the social commentary in there where it's, well, everyone just spent their heads down looking at their phones and devices for so long. It was only a matter of time before electronics took over everything, and they did. And
Kerblam is absolutely supposed to be Amazon.
Yes.
100%.
And instead of being on the planet, they've taken over the moon of this planet. And basically, the moon is one giant warehouse. But the way it is there's laws and everything that have been passed down there. And a minimum of 10% of the workforce must be humans on all levels.
Yep.
So it can't be fully automated.
And you have a little ankle bracelet. And the color of the light on that tells you where you belong. Like, Graham originally is purple, which is the shipping and receiving room.
Right.
And the doctor's like, no, I need to get in there. So she switches with him, and he gets the white, which is janitorial.
Yeah, and essentially they have their safety vest they wear matches the color of their bracelet.
Yep.
Because everything's color coordinated. Well, essentially, the long and the short of it, we meet some new friends along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And
lose some of them.
And lose some of them, yep. And basically, the computer, the AI is who sent the message to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the maintenance guys that we meet, Charlie, basically he's a super genius and he's a bad guy and he's been delaying package deliveries until like there's enough built up that he's going to send them all at once. And the bubble wrap that everything's wrapped in, when you press it, it explodes.
Yeah. Because he knows that that's what everybody does with bubble wrap.
And so,
because he wants to show that automation is terrible.
Yes.
And that big companies like Amazon, I mean, Kerblam,
yep.
you know, are ruining the world. And so he's going to kill people to do that.
And say he wants it just by killing thousands of people.
Yep.
So,
there were a number of throwbacks in here. You know, you had the Fez where she was like, still me, you know, obviously a throwback Smith. At one point she's talking about a wasp nest. And then as the door is closing and we're going to commercials, she goes, oh, speaking of wasps, did I ever tell you about the time that I was with Agatha Christie? And
we're like,
and at one point they were saying something about robots and they're like, what? You're not against robots. She goes, oh, some of my best friends are robots. And I'm like, handles, canine. I even considered Nardole kind of robotic because he had all the cybernetic implants.
He was. Yep.
Yep. So. It was nice. They were definitely giving tribute to doctors before. And
Bob. The first Cyberman.
Yes. Yes.
I look forward to when we may see the Daleks and the Cybermen again. Mm-hmm. I think. My wife watched this for the first time. She's never watched Doctor Who, and she kind of watched. She sat on the couch while I watched this, and she's asking me questions. She's just like, can you pause this? I was like, yeah. She's like, I have so many questions right now. I was able to answer them rather quickly. But one thing that she didn't get was when she said, you better not do anything to hurt me or hurt my new friends because you'll have to answer to me
because
I'm the doctor
mm-hmm.
and I'm protecting this place or whatever. And she's like, so?
Right.
You just don't get it.
Right.
I tried explaining to her, but.
Oh, we got to see the psychic paper again.
Yes.
Because right there in the beginning, she holds it up and the woman's looking and she
reads. This is our references.
Yeah. Oh, you're related to the first lady. Yeah, that's what she put in there then.
Well, she wrote that on there? We don't like to let people know about
that. That's right.
Yeah.
And then they all roll with it. You know, Yaz is like, yes, we're kind of private. And Ryan's like, yes, very private.
I like Graham. I like them all.
Oh, my God.
I like
them. They all have a great.
When Charlie and Yaz and help me out here.
Graham?
No.
Ryan?
Ryan. When Charlie, Yaz, and Ryan are going to jump down into dispatch and get on the conveyor belts and everything like that. And Charlie and Ryan's just like, I have coordinating issues, you know, da-da-da.
Takes me a while to learn things.
And he's like, well, you can stay if you want. And he's just like, nope. we're a team. We do this together.
Yep.
So let's do it.
Yep.
Same thing when him and Yaz jump from one conveyor belt to the next. I liked it when he high-fived Charlie and he fell off it. And luckily, he landed on another.
You know what I thought?
What?
When we saw the big reveal that the entire warehouse was filled with the, you know, automatic delivery guys.
Yeah.
And they each had a box and they were getting ready to teleport. I thought that we were going to see the reveal that they were Cybermen.
Yes, me too.
The way that they were all lined up and stayed in there.
That was my initial thoughts. Like, ooh, are these Cybermen?
Right. You know, did this kid get his hands on some Cybermen technology and he was like trying to replicate it?
And then I thought Slade was going to be the bad guy, but he was a red herring.
Yes.
And it was Charlie was the bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend, the girl that he liked there, she got a gift delivered to her.
Yeah.
And she squeezed the bubble wrap and exploded and died. And he's like, it wasn't meant for her.
Yep.
But then he got over that real quick and was basically like, yeah.
I'm going to kill everybody.
There's got to be sacrifices made in order to do that.
And so then the doctor using an old like type 1 prototype manages to break into the new ones and essentially forces them to deliver the package to themselves and then open them up and then do to bubble wrap what people do with it.
Yep.
And so they all explode.
And Charlie dies because he was down there running around in them and they were like, get up here. Nope. So they teleported out.
Yep. They gave him multiple chances to come to them, but they didn't.
Yep.
But he didn't, I mean, so.
It was a great episode.
Great episode.
It was so great.
I look forward to next week's episode. They're in 17th century England or whatever for some witch hunts.
Mm-hmm. Yeehaw.
Yep.
That's all I got for shows.
Me too.
I got three movies and some trailers and some news.
I don't have a whole lot of news. I don't have any news or trailers, really. But I got some couple movies.
What you got for movies?
I watched The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
As did I.
And I watched Cam.
Oh, I didn't watch that one yet.
What'd you watch?
I watched The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yep.
And I watched both episodes of Into the Dark. So I watched The Body and Flesh and Blood.
I watched The Body a while ago. I haven't watched Flesh and Blood.
That's why I said we'll be able to talk about another one.
Okay.
So let's talk about The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Okay. Coen Brothers film, which I like.
Film is a odd word.
Well,
it's an anthology.
It was an anthology. It was
finally. We keep throwing that word out. And we're like, that's not an anthology. This was literally an anthology.
2 hours and 15 minutes long or so. There was 6 stories.
Yep.
Told through the course of someone reading an old book.
Yep.
The first story is the Ballad.
With no narrator.
Right. The first story is The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, and there's singing in this and dancing and lots of killing. And basically, he's a sharpshooter killer of a guy who always jumps the gun on people, but he's got a real happy disposition. And
he has a very expansive vocabulary.
Oh, yes, he does.
He's very clever.
It's Tim Blake Nelson. He's fantastic in the role.
My favorite scene, and it keeps replaying over and over in my head, is when Clancy Brown is holding the gun on him at the table, and he just kicks the
table
slat from the table, and it forces Clancy Brown to, like, snap the gun up and shoot himself in the face.
Yeah.
And then he does it, like, 5 more times. Just bam, bam, bam.
And then he runs into a kid that gets the drop on him the same way he does, and that's the end of it.
I love this episode. I loved the Ballad
of Buster Scruggs. Okay.
I watched this, and I was laughing.
Yes.
And I was like, this is awesome. This is the first time a Coen Brothers thing has really gotten to me like this. And I was so excited. And then, for me personally, I felt that the next 5 stories progressively got worse. Okay.
Well, the next one was near Al Gadone's or whatever, and it's basically about...
I thought the next one was pot shot or pan shot.
Well, yes, but it wasn't called that. It was called near Al Gadone's or something like that.
Oh, really?
But that's about the guy that dresses up in the pots.
Yeah.
Basically, it's, what's his name? James Franco.
James Franco.
Goes to rob a bank.
And Stephen Root is basically doing the Western version of Milton from Office Space. Yeah.
And points a gun at him, and then he tries to get the money and escape, and then the guy's, he's covered in pots and pans, and even though James Franco's shooting at him, it doesn't do anything.
But every time it hits one and it clings off, he yells out,
pan shot!
Yep.
Or pot shot, or whatever. So eventually Franco wakes up and he's on a horse with a noose around his neck, and there's a bunch of guys around there, and Bates is like, well, you're unconscious. We tried you and you're carrying out your sentence, which is to be executed.
Mm-hmm.
And right before he can be killed, Indians show up and start killing everybody. There's some very violent.
Oh yeah.
Grisly.
The first thing is an arrow gets shot right through a guy's neck.
Yeah.
And then the guy actually like sits up, breaks it off. And goes, like he's going to fight. And then a second one gets shot through his neck as well.
Yeah.
And he's dead at that point.
But the Indians come along, scalp and kill everybody except for James Franco. They just leave him there.
Mm-hmm.
And then this other guy shows up and rescues him. And he's, you should be my sidekick. And we can run these cattle together, on and on and on. And then all of a sudden, the posse shows up because this guy had stolen the cattle. And so they try James Franco again real quick, and they're going to hang him.
With a group of people in town on the gallows. People,
yeah, exactly, in town. And, he spies this pretty girl in the audience. He's like, that's a pretty girl. And then,
And then it's over.
There's no happy endings in any of these stories.
Nope. No. So that one, I was like, okay. I loved Stephen Root's character. I would have liked to have seen more of him. And I'm sorry, it wasn't Milton from Office Space. He was playing... Oh, my God.
Austin News Radio?
Nope. I was thinking his character in Dodgeball.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because when he's talking about the bank and the security system, and he's saying, blah, 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 I could just picture him saying, Peter, we could, the official rules do say, and then, he had those traps set up, so, he shot the feed out from under people, and then the pans and the pots. I would have liked to have seen more of him.
Yep. I can get by that.
But this one, it was okay. The next one with Liam Neeson's?
Nope. The next one was... Oh, yes, it was. It was. Liam Neeson's, and there's this quadruple amputee guy, and
he's basically head on a torso.
They're a traveling road show.
Yep.
And, that doesn't end well for me, though.
No, basically he sets the kid up on a stool and people come and sit around and the kid just like recites things. Sometimes they're Bible verses.
Sometimes it's Shakespeare.
Yep. Sometimes it's the Constitution or the, not the Emancipation Proclamation, but the Gettysburg Address, you know?
Yeah.
And he just recites these things. And then Liam Neeson's will walk around the audience and with a hat out and people will make little donations. And it's boring as fuck.
Yeah, it's not very good.
And then they basically, so we get to watch them, like, the crowds keep getting smaller and smaller, and then one night Liam Neeson gets drunk at the campfire and puts the kid on his back and carries him around with him.
Brings him to a whorehouse.
Like a backpack, brings him to a whorehouse, makes him sit there.
But look away.
Turns him
away while he bangs a prostitute.
Which we don't get to see any of.
Nope. And then
she offers to sex the kid up.
Yep.
And he's like, no, I don't think so. She goes, has he ever been sexed up, basically? And yep. Liam Neeson's is like, once. It wasn't good.
And then he sees a smart mathematician chicken, and he buys the chicken,
uh-huh.
and fucking throws the kid in the river.
Yeah, which again, we never see, but we see
implied.
Him.
Implied.
Yeah, we see him like implied. Go out in the middle of a tundra, essentially,
yeah.
and he goes over to the bridge, and he looks down at how deep it is, he throws he a rock a big down rock. There.
He looks back at the kid, and the kid's just kind of looking at him like, oh shit.
Yeah. And,
then the next scene is the wagon going on, and they show the back, and the
chicken's
gone.
There, and yeah. the kid's gone.
So
it that was rough.
Yeah. The next one was called Old Gold Canyon. It was about a prospector banding for gold, and he, for, I guess, weeks or months, whatever it is.
Dude, that took a long
time. Yeah, he finally finds the what's it called?
The
pocket.
Vein. Yeah.
Found the pocket.
Mr. Pocket.
Yeah. And immediately the guy gets shot in the back by a guy who's just been waiting for him to find it, and yada, yada.
And it was very deliberate. Like, the guy shot him in the back and then sat there
yep.
on the edge of the hole and yep. waited and looked up and saw the owl, which I thought something was going to happen with the owl because the prospector ate his egg. And then he kept, you know, he rolled up a cigarette and he smoked it and he sat there and he waited. And, I mean, the whole time the old man's shirt is getting more and more soaked yes. in blood. And he finally jumps down in the hole and the old man grabs him and shoots him.
They struggle and then shoots him.
Yep.
Yep.
And then he's, like, washing himself off, and he's like, it went straight through.
They didn't hit anything vital. They didn't hit anything important.
Yep.
Yep.
And then he packs up his stuff, his gold.
Collects his gold and leaves.
Yep. So I guess he kind of got a happy ending.
Not really, I guess. I don't know. We don't know. The next one's The Girl Who Got Rattled. This is a long story about a wagon
train. Oh, my
train.
God, was this a long yeah. story. This one never ended, dude.
No, it didn't. And then the last one was called The Mortal Remains.
Which is just weird.
Yeah, people in a wagon train and storytelling. And yeah, it was kind of weird as well. I guess all in all, I did enjoy the movie, but the Buster Scruggs story was probably the best story.
See, I thought that was going to be the whole movie.
Yeah.
And then when he died right off, I'm like, what happened? And then it was like it switched to a new story, and I'm like, yeah. oh. And honestly, I felt that they all went downhill from there. I loved the Buster Scruggs one. It yeah. was so good, and it was so funny. I actually had a friend who sent me a text. And she was like, you need to watch The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. So a couple days later, I started watching it. And I got to the third one, the Liam Neeson's one, and I got done.
Yeah.
And I just stopped. And I sent her a message, and I'm like, look, I'm sorry. I loved the first story. The second one was okay. I watched that one with Liam Neeson's, and it kind of depressed me and yeah. sucked. So I don't know if I'm going to keep going. She goes, oh, my God. She goes, I watched the first one, and that's when I sent you the message. She goes, and then I stopped the same spot you did because, yeah, it really kind of sucks beyond there. So we were on the same page, obviously.
Oh, well, there you go, then. Pardon me.
So, The Body.
Yes, The Body.
Episode 1 of Hulu's original Blumhouse Productions yep. Into the Dark series, where they do one movie a month based on the
yes.
holiday of themed. That month. I like this.
I thought it was great.
I thought it was really good.
It was a hitman.
Yep.
Killed someone.
Right in the very beginning.
Yep. Gets him wrapped up. But it's Halloween night. So he's trying to get the body out and...
Vandals have destroyed all the cars on the street.
Yep.
TP'd them, slashed the tires. Yep. And so some stupid frat boy types, you know, party guys, this group of three people, they're like, oh, dude, you should come with us to this party. It's going to be great. You know, this guy's really a party animal. And he basically tells them to fuck off.
Yep.
And then the cops show up. They're taking people's statements. And he's like, how about we go have a party?
Yeah.
Just so that he can get off the street. And It was a good story. Pedro was in there.
Yep.
As the rich guy who throws the party, and everybody's jealous of him. But and then they all basically think that his dead body is a prop for his costume.
And then they find out it's not.
No.
And one girl's cool about it. She thinks it's great.
Yeah.
She wants to kill someone.
She has the, like, morbid...
Yeah. She wants to kill someone.
And at first he's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
But then she starts helping him, and then they're actually working together. But he keeps saying, there's no we.
Yeah.
She's like, what are we going to do? There's no we. And then finally he like, says to her, he's like, you may be the only person on the planet who understands me.
And then he shoots her.
Stabs her.
Stabs her, yeah.
One's in the back, one's in the gut.
Yeah.
And leaves her on a gravestone to bleed out.
Yep.
And walks away. Because he has a contract. He has to get that body to a certain place to make a scene by a certain time.
Yep.
So that everybody gets the message. But meanwhile, the kids, like, something went wrong at the party, and the kids have taken off with the body. Because they're like, we need to, you know, get this body to somebody so that they know that he killed them. Because he's going to kill us otherwise. Because he did. He killed one of their friends.
Yes.
And he'll kill the rest of them. They get a cop involved. They call him Chief Quimby at one point. And he gets killed. And then they, like, this girl that is working with the hitman, she's like, oh, he asked her to hack in and get the body cam footage. He's like, it's immediately uploaded to a cloud drive. Can you get in there? She's like, yeah, of course I can. Which, no, she can't.
But, right.
She gets it and she goes, huh, let's send it to those assholes that are friends of mine, and sends it to them so that she can frame them. You know, look, this is the clip. And as you guys basically saying that you've got a dead body, it was twisted.
It was twisted. But I enjoyed it.
Mm.
I'm looking forward to watching Flesh and Blood. How was it?
It's slow as fuck.
Is it good, though?
Eventually. I will tell you this right now. It is not murder mystery-ish.
Yeah.
It's more Hitchcockian.
Yeah, I think it has like a Rear Window feel, she's agoraphobic or something like that.
A teenage girl, agoraphobic, senses that there's something wrong in the world.
Yeah.
And it gets pretty good by the end because it's very suspenseful, but it's so slow in the beginning, it made me want to cry. Dermot Mulroney is great as being a creepy guy, though. Mm-hmm. That's her dad.
Yep. And, oops, sorry.
So, yeah.
Cam.
Yes.
Webcam girls. Webcam girls.
Yeah.
And,
so you watched it with a wife?
Nope.
Nope.
And, I don't know. I want you to watch it before we talk about it.
Okay. Just, be vague, but did you like it or not like it? Or do you not know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I really would like you to watch it.
Okay.
And we can kind of break it down really good and talk about it. Because, I mean, I didn't hate the movie.
Okay.
How's that? It was an interesting story. You know, kind of original. I didn't expect to have happen what happened.
Okay.
But
the trailer was like that, too.
Yeah. Part of it really annoyed me because you have these girls. And basically, okay, their job that they're doing is to be in this room. And they have their web camera on them, and they're talking to all these guys that are chatting their messages, and they're just like, oh, a lot of that talk. And,
oh, it's terrible.
Hey, guys. And, you know, like, oh, I don't really, you're like, oh, only, you know, so many more tips till we get to the cum party. And it's just basically like these girls fleecing these guys of money.
Dude, it happens to do so things. Much.
I know it does.
And it's crazy, isn't it?
Here's the part. That part annoyed me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just like, what's wrong with all these fucking idiots? And I realize it's a movie. And
you're not mad at the girl. You're mad at the guy.
Yeah.
You're
like, why are they falling for this? You can find free porn on the internet all over the place. Mm-hmm. I have never once paid for porn.
Me either.
On the internet.
Nope.
Never once.
Why?
I don't need to.
It's free everywhere.
Exactly. So.
Literally a hub of porn.
Anyhow. So it's, that part was kind of a turnoff. Mm-hmm. But the story itself was kind of cool.
Okay.
And it does get you to delve into this world that they don't make a lot of movies about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of neat. But, you know, all in all, I wasn't blown away.
Okay.
I wanted to say this, though. I did check Redbox this week to see if anything interesting came out in Redbox, because that's my new weekly thing now. And I didn't grab anything, but I saw, I think it's either next week or the week after, Searching is going to be in Redbox. So I do plan on picking that up.
Excellent. Oh, my God.
I do plan on picking that up. But yeah, I want you to watch Cam so we can talk about it.
Searching. That was so friggin' good. Oh my god. Yeah, anyway. Cool. Yeah, I will. It was honestly like I had it queued up at one point, but I couldn't focus.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing something else, and I was like, no, I want to be able to focus on this. And so I didn't end up watching it. I forgot about it, but I am going to watch it probably this weekend.
Yeah.
Did you watch any good trailers this week?
No. I think you sent me one.
Once Upon a Deadpool.
Once Upon a Deadpool. That was interesting.
I thought the exchange with him and Fred Savage was hilarious.
Yeah, I did enjoy that. I thought that was good. But
Fred Savage is like, I prefer Marvel movies. Well, we are Marvel. Yeah, but you're Marvel licensed by Fox.
So
that's like if the Beatles were licensed by Nickelback, you know? It's music, but it sucks. Holy God, that was so good.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty damn good.
I watched a trailer for a movie called Replicas. It's Keanu Reeves, Alice Eve. She's his wife. He has a wife and a daughter and I think a son. And the trailer is only a minute and a half. They pretty much give away the movie.
Oh, really?
But basically, he's in a horrible car accident and his family dies. So he steals stuff and clones them all back to life. And they don't know that they died until his wife realizes something's wrong with her and goes to him. And he's like, yeah, you all died. I brought you back to life by cloning you. And then you see Thomas Middleditch and he's like, there's a reason that people don't clone human beings.
Right.
And, you know, so there's an evil twist to it. So that seems cool. Plus it's Keanu Reeves. I mean,
I do like Keanu Reeves, although he was in that one,
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, that's good. He was in,
Break.
Just gonna name all his movies.
All the good ones.
He was in one recently that wasn't very good. These two girls show up at his house.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't care for that one at all. As opposed to John Wick, which was friggin' awesome.
And John Wick Part 2.
I still love how there's, you know, like, you always see these movies, and I've said this before, and this is me beating the dead horse, I'm just gonna keep doing it, where they're like, they find his files, like, ex-Navy SEAL, blah, 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 blah. You know, and they have to do all this talk to build this guy up as to why he's a badass and this and that and everything. And instead, you get the big, powerful Russian calling, you know, Luigi Mario being like, hey, did you punch my son? Yeah, I did. Why? Because he killed John Wick's dog and stole his car. I see. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that just builds everything.
Yeah.
That builds
everything.
You don't
need a file or anything like that.
I mean, just, you still get the boogie, not boogeyman, but Bubba Yaga story later, about how he killed three guys with a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
A fucking pencil. And he tells this great story. The son's like, yeah, so what? Sorry. But yeah, I still love that. Like, that is the best way that I've ever seen anyone build a badass. You know, like, yeah, because he stole John Wick's car and killed his dog. Oh, click.
Like, forgiven.
Yeah, like, all right, I get it now. You're right. My son's a moron.
I saw another trailer for a movie called The Intruder. Dennis Quaid. Love Dennis Quaid.
He's still around?
Basically, this younger couple, I'd say maybe mid to late 30s, early 40s,
yeah.
They decide they want a house up in Napa Valley.
Yeah.
And so they go and they buy it off Dennis Quaid. And he's like, oh, this was the house that me and my wife lived in. It's been in my family for generations.
Oh,
but, you know,
no, that's not going to go well.
But then, you know, at one point the wife looks out and he's out mowing her lawn. She's like, wait a minute. He's mowing the lawn.
Is that a euphemism or is he actually cutting grass?
He's actually cutting grass on a riding mower. Okay. But it's like, you know, somebody tells him, oh, that's his house. Oh, don't look too deep because, you know, his wife died in that house, took his gun and put it in her own mouth and pulled the trigger. And it's a stalkery kind of thing. You know, he is the intruder and it's the creepy. And yeah. And then I saw the newest trailer for the second Lego movie, the second part.
How's that looking?
It looks great. I love the first one. And this one has two Chris Pratts in it. Because Pratt plays Emmett, but then he's also doing the voice of, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's like the dashing intergalactic explorer slash archaeologist slash dinosaur wrangler. And then he's laughing about that. And Emmett's like, I don't know why we're laughing. Well, because, you know, he has a velociraptor named Blue.
Yeah.
So Yeah.
Got any news? I don't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't have any trailers. The only news I had was the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. thing.
Yeah. They've cast Lex Luthor for Supergirl.
Okay, I did hear that.
John Cryer.
How do you feel about that?
I feel terrible about that.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going
to work. I'll be interested to see how he does it, but all I can think of is him on 2.5 Men. And that just doesn't strike me as Lex Luthor. That's no, like the opposite of Lex Luthor. Charlie Sheen in that show would have been a better Lex Luthor than... But we'll see. Now, you may not... This may not mean a lot to you, but Adi Shankar just brought us the Castlevania series on Netflix, the animated one based on the games.
Yep.
And I really liked him. And a lot of people really liked him. Well, now Adi Shankar has been given another property for Netflix. He's bringing Devil May Cry, the video game.
I've never heard of that.
No, it's very stylish, very devils and demons and lots of sword fighting and gunplay and sexy, angsty. Oh, it's awful.
Nothing wrong with sexy awesome. Angsty.
It's awful and awesome. So, yeah. Big Mouth is getting season 3.
Well, already announced it.
Yeah. It certainly does. So that's coming to Netflix at some point, but I'm very excited about that now that I have a passion for the show. The last one. This is for you, for the listeners, for anybody else out there. December 24th, season 3 of The Magicians will hit Netflix.
Okay.
So right now, season 1 and 2 are on Netflix, and I believe they're only like 10 episodes each. Season 3 will be there December 24th, and then season 4 starts up on Sci-Fi late January. I think it's like January 27th or something.
Yeah.
So anybody who wants to catch up, anybody who wants to pick this show up that I highly recommend, it's available. Right now, you could start with the first 2 seasons. Yeah, we're in late November, so you got about a month before season 3 comes out. So you got plenty of time. So season 1 and 2, you can gobble those down. Season 3 comes out Christmas Eve, and you'll be just in time for season 4 when it comes on Sci-Fi in January.
There's currently 39 episodes.
Okay, so 13 episodes
per season. In the first 3 seasons.
Yep. Yeah. I highly recommend this show. It is dark. It is violent. But it's got a good story and some of the better character development I've seen in a long time. I mean, this is some really dark, twisted, and awesome shit. So yeah. I've said it many times when I've talked about the episodes when they were on.
Yep.
I definitely, anybody who's been hesitant until now because they were like, oh, I don't know if I could catch up. Here's your opportunity.
Okay.
That's all I got.
That's all I got. All right, sounds like a good week of stuff.
Agreed.
Okay, well, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you to next week. On the Twitter machine, I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
You know what I'm saying? We'll talk to you. That's what you
I know. I like to keep it with
you. You like that, I guess.